7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. And as always, I am joined here with Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going?
You know what? We are fast approaching the fantasy playoffs. And since I am on the outside of our Keepers League, I'm wheeling and dealing over here. I feel like a regular Hugh Jackson.
Regular Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, kind of in the same boat as Tim right now, but it's kind of sad. The fantasy season is almost over. We have the playoffs coming, and as much as I love the playoffs, seeing the regular season go by, it's kind of shocking. Went so fast.
We are going to be talking about a little bit of Week 12, a little bit about Week 13 that's coming up, some of the fantasy matchups you should and should not be playing, and who you should start over some other guys. So let's first start off with a recap of Week 12 real quick. I just want to hit on a couple games. The Thanksgiving Day games. What were your guys' thoughts about these?
Dallas Cowboys are really bad right now. It's a mixture of that and the Chargers playing some very good football right now. That defense is on fire. Keenan Allen and Pip Rivers have something going on right now. Hunter Henry is getting involved. Big time win for the Chargers. And they might be in the driver's seat right now in the AFC West.
So a couple things. One, Case Keenum, better than I thought he was. Lions did not put up as big as a fight as I thought they would. Josh, you mentioned in our group chat with the three of us that it's crazy that the Vikings are, you know, coming, I believe, next week or the week after. Sam Bradford can come off of the injury report.
Yep.
And obviously Teddy Bridgewater, they're still pushing for him. So Case Keenum's getting all this pressure when he's done nothing but win. So absolutely insane. Honestly, I don't know what to think. I thought the Lions would find a way to pull it off. My pocketbook is a little bit less because I lost that game betting the Lions plus, I believe, 3.5. Regardless, the Cowboys, a little bit of advice for one Gerald Jones. You want to fight the NFL. All the other owners hate you right now because they're all rich snobs and you're just a crazy old man at this point. You want to piss everyone off? When Zeke gets reinstated, buy him a titty bar. He obviously does better whipping titties out, right? It's what brings this team. Zeke is the only thing that brings this team to life, apparently. He makes Dak better. And when is Zeke at his best? When he's whipping titties out. So, do it.
Yeah, I don't know at this point in time the Vikings can say, hey, Case Keenum, you're not our guy. I don't understand how they can even be considering the fact of going back to Teddy Bridgewater coming off of his injury right now, just or Sam Bradford for that matter, just because of the way that Case Keenum has played in this offense. If you do that, you're going to disrupt the timing that he has with these wide receivers, the running game, everything. Case Keenum right now is the guy, and I think they only let up one sack in this game, if I remember correctly.
And that is why there has been success. That offensive line
correct. Is
why there has been success. Case Keenum is just a product of what's in front of him. That is it. Nothing more.
I don't even think Sam Bradford is even that good. So,
hey, Tim, you can make that argument for any quarterback. If they have a garbage offensive line, I don't care if it's Tom Brady out there, if he's getting hit on every play and isn't getting time to throw the football, he's not going to look very good out there. The times that the Patriots are beaten in the playoffs is why? Because the other team could hit the quarterback. So if you don't have an offensive line protecting you, you're not going to do shit in this league.
Yeah, Tim. Wrong, sir. Wrong.
No, that's right.
No, you look at the Dallas Cowboys in particular. Perfect example. They lose the people in front of them. It's not necessarily the player itself. Dak Prescott, everyone, oh, he's so great. Oh, he's a Pro Bowler. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. He lost people around him. He lost studs around him, and now he's garbage. This is the perfect example of that.
Exactly. He had no protection. He was hit. Atlanta,
He has no running game. He loses Zeke.
Watch the Atlanta Falcons game, Tim, and watch him get hit within 2 seconds of the snap almost every play, it seemed like. Any quarterback you put in that situation, they're going to struggle.
Regardless, if you were a Marvin Jones owner, Keenan Allen owner, Jameson Crowder, or a Samaje Perine owner, you're probably pretty happy on these Thursday night games.
Oh, yeah.
Not too bad.
There was a lot of fantasy implications. There was a lot of big-time performances on Thanksgiving, and a lot of those performances catapulted people into wins this week.
Julio Jones, playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, put up 253 yards receiving. What a game that man had.
So I have a funny story for you guys. In one of my leagues, I had Jared Goff, Le'Veon Bell, who else did I have? Alvin Kamara, Julio Jones, and Travis Kelce. All year long, I started in that league 0-6. Absurd, right? I mean, how do you even start that way? Came back, battled back, ended up losing last week in a close one, whatever. Or 2 weeks ago in a close one. So I ended up trading all those guys for draft picks. We traded for draft picks and made a killing, right? Don't draft after the 9th round next year. You know, great. But Alvin Kamara, Julio Jones, Travis Kelce, and Jared Goff, even though I believe I traded that for Carson Wentz and turned it. Regardless, I had four guys that I traded for a combined 140 points.
It's nuts.
It's just absurd. The big days that we expect in fantasy football all happened on Sunday, it seemed like. Absurd. Absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy and how some of these days for fantasy are going. Alvin Kamara blowing up left and right week after week. Mark Ingram, same way. Julio Jones this game. Tevin Coleman put in a touchdown. Two touchdowns. He had over 20 points this week. Matt Ryan had a decent game. It's kind of crazy. You look at Tampa Bay, Doug Martin, terrible. We thought he was primed for a big season, looked great in the offseason. No Jameis Winston. Mike Evans is down year. It's a little frustrating if you're a Tampa Bay holder on one of these players.
Josh, earlier today, actually before we started the show, I had chicken wings.
Yep.
You provided me a plate, and you saw me eating them. You were making fun of me, and I ate those chicken wings. And then I was done, and I didn't have a paper towel, and I didn't know what to do exactly. And then I went to lick my fingers and immediately thought of Jameis Winston and almost killed myself. So I just, now I have chicken grease all over my pants. So I thought you would want to know that.
Next game we're going to talk about is the Cleveland Browns at the Cincinnati Bengals. And Tom, you messaged us right when it was going down. What happened in this game?
Joe freaking Mixon arrived. He finally had that game that we've been waiting for. This dude, one of the most talented running backs that has come out in the past few drafts. And he finally put it together. That offensive line was blocking. And he did it against a top five run defense. I didn't have much faith in him this week. Benched him in a league. Had to start him in another one. But he made me happy in the league. I had to start him. One of his best game overall as a pro so far.
Tennessee Titans and the Colts. What a barn burner this one was. What the hell is going on with Marcus Mariota?
He's bad.
He's not very good.
Yeah. He's bad at football.
Do we put the blame on him? The coaching staff? The weapons around him? I feel like they've given him a lot.
Oh, yeah. I just don't think he's the pocket passer that a lot of people thought he was. And they're not relying on him to run the football. And he doesn't have a lot of those run-pass options that he normally has. They're trying to protect him, which I totally get. When they have used him to run the football, he's gotten banged up. He's been injured every season that he's played in the NFL. So, obviously, they're going to try to rely on him to be a pocket passer. And that's just not him. Indianapolis Colts are pretty average defense. They're better than a lot of people think, but they're normally on the field so much that they give up tons of points in the fourth quarter, and that's what happened again.
Second upset of the week, in my opinion, or second overall upset of the week, Buffalo at Kansas City. Buffalo wins this one 16-10, and actually in my other confidence pool, I picked Buffalo. I was the only one out of 20 people that did, and I was quite happy. But I felt like Buffalo could have went into Kansas City, and this is a game where they went back to Tyrod Taylor, they benched Peterman, and they said, you know what, we'll give Tyrod another chance. And I'm like, you know what, this is a game definitely that we could see Buffalo win. But I think after this, with Alex Smith not putting up 200 yards passing, Patrick Mahomes' time is coming, and I think it's coming soon.
It's a mess in Kansas City.
They got to run the ball.
Yeah, and they're not doing a good job. Look, I've said for the past 2 to 3 weeks, Trade Kareem Hunt while you can. And what does Zeke do? He keeps disappointing the first run defenses since they've traded Marcell Dareus, and they could not run against them. I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't have much confidence in anyone in this offense besides Travis Kelce right now.
Patrick Mahomes, baby. He was close early, and this is living proof that exactly what I said is coming to fruition. That Alex Smith is not that good. He's nothing but a game manager, and he's struggling mightily. I'm glad to see young running back. Kareem Hunt is falling in line with every Kansas City running back over the last 5 years of blowing up, hot, cold, bipolar. Honestly, I hope they lose this coming week so we get to see Patrick Mahomes at the end of the year.
Miami at the New England Patriots, and Tom Brady and the Patriots win this game 35-17. Pretty good day for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, it was more of a blowout than the score lets you believe. Dolphins really didn't have a chance at all in this game. Gronk found his way in the end zone twice. Pretty big day for all the pass catching options for the Patriots, and a big day for Rex Burkhead. Kind of just shows you that running back field is still a mess. Kind of hard to start any of them.
Yeah, no, it's this is just Tom Brady. I mean, Damian Williams obviously went down with an injury as well. So Kenyon Drake owners, or if you're in for some reason in the playoffs and you don't have a running back too, look at Kenyon Drake. I know that you guys said that they were looking at signing
Langford.
Thank you, Jeremy Langford. But Kenyon Drake right now looked good outside of, he looked good last week, struggled the week before, but 2 weeks earlier than that, he looked good as well. So look for him. He's kind of the only guy they have right now. So look for the Dolphins and Kenyon Drake.
Carolina Panthers go to the New York Jets and beat the Jets 35-27. But I think it's safe to say, guys, on the Jets side of the ball, Josh McCown and Robbie Anderson are must starts from here on out.
They got a good connection. Even Jermaine Kearse has been doing some work for the Jets. Really, there's not really much else to say. Panthers kind of got lucky in this game. Had a defensive score. Devin Funchess seems like he's embracing that wide receiver one role. It's good to see.
Yeah, honestly, I thought that the Panthers were going to somehow blow this game. It seemed like it was going to happen. At the end of the day, the Jets did the Jets. But honestly, I'm happy. I like teams like the Jets who are like my Chicago Bears. Everyone's down on them, and they're shocking people. But Cowan has been a pleasant surprise for anyone in the NFL and for fantasy purposes. I've actually rode him to several wins. So
I bet you did.
Props to him. Yeah. Wow.
Typical Tim move.
Yeah, I love riding dudes. So moving on.
Talking about disappointments, the Chicago Bears get shellacked 3-31. The Eagles, again, are just dominating shitty teams like the Bears.
This is a game where you're like, this could be a trap game. You know, the Bears haven't been very good. The Eagles have been the hottest team in the NFL. They kind of started pretty bad against the Cowboys the week before. So I was expecting this game to be a little closer, but the Eagles, man, it was just a tidal wave of ass whooping. It came from the opening kickoff. There really wasn't any
tidal wave of ass whooping.
There was really nothing the Bears could do in this game. Poor Mitchell.
I mean, what's there to say? Honestly, I'm glad it happened. You saw Kyle Long came out and said that was the best defense he's ever played against in the NFL afterwards, which I found rather interesting, in all honesty. And
I feel like he's never faced the Saxonville Jaguars.
But then there was also a lot of people on defense Akiem Hicks came out and said how that Carson Wentz, it was like night and day between his Monday Night Football game that he played last year and this game right here. What do you say? The Eagles are the number one seed in the NFL and the Bears are bottom of the barrel. I thought that they would put up more of an effort, in all honesty. You saw Alshon Jeffrey go out, put up a good day against his former team, kind of like we all anticipated. And Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz did what Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz do. So props to the Eagles beating up on teams that they should. It's important.
There was a rumor that I was listening to ESPN 1000 Chicago, and they said that a lot of players came out and they were getting yelled at by the coaching staff because they were out partying the night before the game.
Honestly, when I want, I'm going to say this and it's going to sound bad, but I don't care. The Eagles honestly seemed like, you know how when you watch a movie and in the very beginning of the movie, like, you have the team who's the main characters, right? And they go out there and they're just so bad, and the evil team comes out and they go and they score 100 points and they're dancing and they're all excited. They're shooting off fireworks and they're just like dickheads. That's what the Eagles were like this whole game. Like, it wasn't even close. The Eagles were out there just simply embarrassing the Chicago Bears. Nothing more.
Seattle Seahawks go to the San Francisco 49ers. And we saw our first glimpse of Jimmy Garoppolo due to an injury to CJ Beathard, as Tim would like to say. But on the other side of the ball, we have one Russell Wilson doing what Russell Wilson does best, and that is play very good football at the quarterback position.
Yeah, Tim's on record for saying that quarterbacks can't play backyard football in the NFL, but Russell Wilson is doing it on a week-to-week basis. Just more facts that are proving my point that Lamar Jackson could do it in the NFL as well. I'm off my draft little rant, but Russell Wilson, he's playing amazing football right now. I really like the Doug Baldwin start this week, and he completely disappointed me. Kind of screwed me out of a lot of money. So fuck you, Doug Baldwin.
Wow.
Sorry.
So what I will say, you know what? Here's the only thing I have, my thought of this game, is everyone's all high and mighty to get on their pedestal of what's wrong and what's right, and this person said this and this person did that. The whole San Francisco 49ers fan base cheered adamantly when my boy, CJ Beathard, went down so Jimmy Garoppolo could get in the game. A guy who goes, puts his body on the line, not a big time. It's not like he's a multi-million dollar quarterback. He's just a small kid from Iowa, and he goes out there, gets hurt. Someone is hurt on the field, and you fucking scumbags are cheering. Absolute scum of the earth. These are the people that need to be protested. The players need to be freaking kneeling for the fans cheering. I know tons of San Francisco 49ers players came out and said that they were disgusted with their own fans as well. But what a joke.
Yeah, as they should be.
What a joke.
I would have cheered.
What a joke.
It's not like he was seriously injured. And you got
to
see.
You don't know that? Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? Do you know how injured he was? Especially when he's initially down on the field? Do you know?
Is he seriously injured?
Do you know?
Obviously, I do. That he wasn't seriously injured.
No, you don't.
He gave the thumbs up.
You predicted.
He was walking.
Calm down, Miss Cleo. You don't know, okay? You don't know how injured he was.
I'm just saying I would have cheered to see
I don't doubt
Jimmy
that.
G.
You sent us a Heath Ledger meme earlier. I don't doubt that, bro.
That's not good.
No. You are the type. You should be protested, Tom.
Moving on, we have a fight on the field, and it's not Mayweather and McGregor. It is the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. Your boy, Michael Crabtree, and we have Aqib Talib.
Shit's it's fake. Neither of them. They were partying the night before, got super drunk at the local titty bar, and they didn't feel like playing, so they just got in a fight. We've seen it before. I just want to talk about my boy, Amari Cooper. Having a great start of the game, get that touchdown, that 9-yard touchdown. Then he got like a broken neck, broken ankle on one play. He should be all right. Got a concussion, sprained ankle. But yeah, that fight, it was rigged.
I honestly have not. I love the theatrics, Josh. I love them. This was just a joke. I hope Tom's right. But I know it was like the stiffest suspension ever. In the NFL, both guys got multiple games, I believe.
And reduced to one
reduced
game.
To one game. Yeah. But for some...
I just don't get it. Like, you've had issues with these two before.
They didn't want to play.
Aqib Talib grabs his gold chain again.
Time out. How doesn't the NFL, after last year, Aqib Talib being the cocky prick that he is, says, if you wear that gold chain in front of me, I'm ripping off your goddamn neck. So how doesn't the NFL immediately step in and say, hey, you know what? We probably shouldn't wear any goddamn gold chains on the football field, which are completely unnecessary. Yeah. Then on top of that, they play and Crabtree's hurt. And Akeem Tlaib says, I don't care. I'm not worried about him. If you were in front of me, I would have ripped his goddamn gold chain right off his neck. And it still goes by the wayside. So now you have a couple of freaking dum-dums grasping, ripping chains. You have punches thrown. You have Marshawn Lynch taking him off of the Raiders' sidelines. It's a goddamn circus.
It is.
It is a joke. Everyone, the Raiders and the Broncos suspended for the rest of the year without pay.
No more.
No games. One's allowed to play anymore.
Yeah, it's a.
It's
absolutely. It's a joke.
And why do grown men have to wear jewelry while playing a sport? Does that make sense to you?
I don't know.
Tim, no. It's America. Why can't these guys wear jewelry if they want to?
Because apparently another guy's going to rip it off his goddamn neck.
Then throw punches at him.
No.
This fight.
This is
America. These are modern day gladiators. Someone's going to rip my chain off my neck. I'm going to beat your brains in. And that's what Crabtree tried to do. But Tlaib was wearing a helmet.
Yeah, that wasn't very smart, throwing punches at a helmet.
That's what you got to do.
Moving on, we're done with that.
I just want to rip Josh's gold chain. Look, not where. I wish you guys could see this.
I wish Josh would wear a goddamn t-shirt.
Yeah, he can't afford a fucking undershirt.
Josh comes in here every show, and he comes in from work, and he's always nicely dressed, always looking good. He's got his hair done, whatever. He's fine. Oh, hey, Josh. Oh, hey, guys. Whatever. Meet down in the studio. Okay, great. Everything's fine. And then he goes and changes, and he comes down, and every time he's in sweatpants. He puts grease in his hair. I'm pretty sure it's chicken grease. And he puts sunglasses on. And then he puts a zip-up Armani sweater with no undershirt.
With a big-ass gold chain.
Big-ass gold chain and six chest hairs. Six.
Pretty much.
Also, with chicken grease on them.
Yeah, that's me in a nutshell right there. Next.
You look like Don Vito.
The New Orleans Saints go to the LA Rams. And my upset pick here... did not pan out. I said the Saints were going to destroy the Rams, and what a bust that was. So it is what it is. But we have Alvin Kamara, another big day out of him. 5 rushes, 87 yards, 1 touchdown. The one rush did go for 74 yards, but he had 6 receptions, 101 yards receiving, and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp on the other side had his first 100-yard receiving game for that rookie. Very good game on for him.
Yeah, honestly, it gets me pretty excited about Cooper Kupp. Seems like him and Goff, week by week, are developing a rapport with one another. Obviously, I was huge on Goff a couple of years ago, and we were all big on Kupp coming into this year. So, very excited to see a young Rams offense kind of grow a little bit. Obviously, you have Todd Gurley at the helm to beat the Saints. I get that it was at home, but still... to beat the Saints with how improved they have been on the defensive side of the ball. They were running high. That's a big win for that team.
Huge win.
Especially after the bad loss to the Vikings the week prior.
Loss of Marshawn Lattimore and him not playing in this game was a big deal for the New Orleans Saints defense. And I think it shows that he's probably the most valuable rookie. Probably deserves to get defensive rookie of the year. He's that important to the Saints right now in their defensive scheme. But big time win for the Rams. They needed this game.
Yeah, that snapped the Saints' 8-game winning streak right there as well. So, next up, the upset of the week, in my opinion, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars going to the Arizona Cardinals, and Blaine Gabbert grinds out a win 27-24. What a joke. Ricky Seals-Jones? Where is he coming from? What is going on? Where was he at? Texas A&M before? College, right?
I have no idea.
And
he was on the corridor of Webster and 3rd.
I think he was Texas A&M, and if I remember correctly. And he was highly touted, and he couldn't catch the ball all the time, and he had a lot of drops. But he has he's an athletic freak, and when he does catch the ball, he's very good, and then. You know, it is what it is after that.
This is This is the game that should show the Jacksonville Jaguars that Blake Bortles isn't enough. I get that they were on the road. I get that it was across country. It's a tough matchup. But you are 7-3. You are on the precipice of one of the best seasons of your franchise's history. The Cardinals are a bad football team. They have a friggin' nonsensical quarterback in Blaine Gabbert. They have no running back. There's no reason for you not to win this football game. You are better in all sense, all shapes and sizes. Let me just read this to you. This is all I have to say. Blaine Gabbert is a, what do you want to call him? What's the word for a traveling quarterback, right? Been around forever.
Journeyman.
Journeyman. Thank you. You're a journeyman welcome. Quarterback. Blaine Gabbert, 241 and 2 touchdowns. Blake Bortles, 160 yards, 0 touchdowns. Says it all right there. Nothing else needs to be said. I get that Blake Bortles rushed for 2 touchdowns. That doesn't matter. You are a quarterback. 160 yards and nothing more is not enough.
Is Ricky Seals-Jones a must-add waiver wire guy?
Fantasy MVP. Pick him up. No, I don't. He's probably worth starting right now. The back-to-back weeks where he's been successful. That tight end position, it's ugly. And it's been ugly pretty much the whole year. If he's still on your waiver wire, go try to get him.
Yeah. D.D. Westbrook, he had 10 targets, 6 catches, 41 yards. If you, even though how bad Blake Bortles has been playing, is D.D. Westbrook worth a pickup as well?
Heck yeah, he is.
D.D. Westbrook, I hope you're listening. You can suck my dick, and I hope no one picks you up.
If I was desperate, this is the week to start him. Facing Indy, it's a good start.
With Blake Bortles as your quarterback?
Last time the Jags played the Colts, he threw for like 357 yards. I was at that game. It was horrendous. I almost jumped off my seat down to the lower level.
Second to last game, Pittsburgh Steelers end up winning their game 31-28 against the Green Bay Packers in a game that was actually really good. It was pretty impressive.
The Steelers, they play up to their competition or down to their competition. They should have blown the Packers out in this game. Packers haven't been good since Aaron Rodgers went out, which is understandable. But they were in this game. Jamal Williams was, he looked like the best running back we've seen for the Packers all year. He looked good, physical running back, but another big day for Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown. The Killer Bees are getting it done.
I mean, what else is to be said? They went out there and they did what the Steelers need to do. I mean, Antonio Brown as these last two games has just blown up. This last quarter of the season has just blown up, and it speaks to the fact of how well they were able to play on the road is now paying off tenfold because they get to play at home where they are so much better. Big Ben specifically at home is so much better. We've talked about it at length on this show and continue to see it here coming down the road.
Last game, we have the Ravens winning at home 23-16. They beat the Houston Texans, and Texans, they're terrible right now.
They're not good. Tom Savage is not a very good quarterback. He had an okay game, but he had 2 or 3 big-time mistakes. That Ravens defense playing great football right now. That's what's keeping them in football games. Joe Flacco in that passing attack, pretty bad. One of the worst passing games in the NFL right now, but pretty impressed with Alex Collins, how he's been running behind a pretty makeshift offensive line there without probably their 2 best offensive linemen for the rest of the year, but he's still getting it done. Big time win for the Ravens. They are still in playoff contention.
Honestly, I was a little bit shocked to see the Ravens go out there and get this victory. Joe Flacco seems like notoriously underrated. Interested to see how the Ravens continue on here with the Alex Collins and just the backfield there for the Ravens. Obviously, Alex Collins, Buck Allen, and
Little Danny Woodhead.
Thank you. Danny Woodhead, who obviously is now back. Lamar Miller had a decent game, but I'm more excited if you were a Texans fan to see at least DeAndre Hopkins is getting his. I'm just happy about that.
From here on out, who do you think, or do you guys, or no, we talked about it, Ben Roethlisberger, he's a must-have right now. If you have him on your team, you should be starting him, right?
Yeah, he's kind of getting in that mode right now where he's lighting teams up. They got a lot of home games, and his road and home splits are tremendous. And he's pretty much reliable at home. And on the road, you don't really want to start him. So his home games in the playoffs, you got to start him. Got some good matchups.
Week 13 in the NFL, here we go. Thursday night game. We have the Washington Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys. You can go to this game for $7. 10,000 tickets available.
That's nuts.
Well, it's absolutely crazy. There's 185,000 seats in that stadium.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Close.
So, with this game, who do you guys have and why?
I am picking the Redskins. It is a Thursday night game. Really, it's hard to pick these games a lot of times. But the only positive thing, both these teams played on Thanksgiving, so they both did get a full week's of rest. But I think Kirk Cousins, Samaje Perine, Jamison Crowder, they will get it done in this game and get a big-time victory and get them to 500.
Much to Josh's chagrin, I feel like the Washington Redskins take Samaje Perine and shove it down the Dallas Cowboys' throats. Big game for Perine. 125 plus and a tutty.
Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott this week?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Kirk Cousins for sure.
Perine, I think Tim answered it, or Alfred Morris and the other Dallas Cowboys running backs.
Perine.
Perine.
Crowder or Dez Bryant?
Crowder.
Crowder.
Dez versus Josh Norman. No, yep. Thank you.
I agree. There's actually quite a few matchups this week that are pretty tough. We have Minnesota-Atlanta here. This is going to be a great game.
Atlanta's been hot. That offense is clicking right now. Saw last week what they were able to do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it's hard for me to pick against the Falcons at home. But I think the Vikings, they bring enough to the table right now. Xavier Rhodes is going to be matching up on Julio Jones. Possibly limit him, but I think they got the pass rush and the secondary to get it done against the Falcons. Big day for them running the football. Vikings win, and Case Keenum, the great Case Keenum, keeps the starting job for the Vikings.
Oh, Case Keenum. In Atlanta, I know I have looked foolish betting against the Vikings here numerous times, but I like Matt Ryan. I like, obviously, Devonta Freeman is back this week, but I feel like it's still going to be Tevin Coleman's show. Julio Jones had the big week last week. It's going to continue. I don't think the Vikings have enough firepower, honestly, to compete in the shootout that this potentially could be. So give me the Atlanta Falcons, 41-35.
Next up, we have the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. I am going to go with the New England Patriots in this game. As much as I liked the Buffalo Bills last week, I do not like them this week. New England's just too good. Buffalo just has no idea what they're doing.
New England's rolling in all cylinders right now. They're hitting their peak almost at the right time. They're gonna kill the Buffalo Bills. Hopefully Peterman gets some action in this game.
This is going to be one of those stupid-ass games that is much closer than it needs to be. The Bills are at home. They have the Bills Mafia, who are just a bunch of freaking weirdos.
Awesome.
Yeah, just finger each other's buttholes and powerbomb each other through tables. It's true. I'm not making it up. I'm not being weird. That is a true statement. They do those things.
So what? Weird.
It is. I agree.
That's
but
so weird.
You have video proof?
I do, actually. That's the weird part of it. Yes. There's numerous videos.
That's so weird.
You want me to show you?
No, I don't want to watch.
I've seen the power bombs, but not the other.
There is literally, I promise you, numerous videos at Buffalo Bills Stadium of fans sitting in seats with their girlfriends, putting their arms around their back, and then fingering their girlfriend's buttholes in the stadium. I swear to God, I will show you the video. I am not making that up. Like, that's the thing. We're talking about the people that threw a dildo named Tom Brady on the field. You think I'm making that up? No. These people do those things. It's not a joke. I swear to you, that actually happened numerous times. Regardless, the Bills are an enigma. They're an awkward team. They show up randomly, and they're going to show up this week. It won't be enough, but the Bills, they cover, but they don't win. They lose 21-20.
Shady McCoy or Rex Burkhead?
Shady McCoy.
Shady McCoy.
That's all I got for that game. So, game of the week, San Francisco 49ers at the Chicago Bears.
Jimmy Garoppolo went to Eastern Illinois University. He's used to playing in this shitty state that we call home. He's going to come back to Illinois and whoop the shit out of the Bears on that high school level field that they call home.
What's the worst you've ever heard somebody call Illinois? Illinois? Illinois-y?
I've heard Illinois. I've never heard Illinois-y.
No, just Illinois. Yeah. Best is people that live in Illinois that think it's Illinois.
Well, speaking of people who probably finger each other's buttholes within the stadium, the Chicago Bears. if they don't, they should. Because this team is bad. And they're going to face an even worse team. I am hoping and praying. I don't care if the Bears win. I don't care what the end result is of this game. I am hoping to see a Jimmy Garoppolo and Mitchell Trubisky shootout. That's what I want to see. I want to see both of them just giving the keys to the kingdom and say, hey, Jimmy G, you're the stud. Show us why we should pay you a bunch of money next year. Hey, Mitchell Trubisky, you're the future of the franchise. Show us why we drafted you so high. Give them the opportunity. Give Soldier Field fans what they want. Let it blow up.
Carlos Hyde or Jordan Howard?
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard.
I like Hyde this week.
At Soldier Field? Yeah. Dumbass.
I do. Would you go with any Bears wide receiver or any San Francisco wide receiver?
Give me Inman.
What about Goodwin?
Yeah, I would take Goodwin.
It's that's a good swinging for the fences for sure. Yeah. I could see him breaking one. He's fast.
No, don't worry, he'll make sure that Kyle Fuller looks stupid.
Next game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Green Bay Packers.
The Battle of the Bays. It's going to be cold in Green Bay, hopefully. Jameis Winston, that finger-licking good SOB. He should be back this week. Mike Evans is going to have a big game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers get back on track, get a victory in Green Bay.
I honestly don't think I've hated two teams playing in the same game more. Not even because of like who they are, but Brett Hundley and Jameis Winston together, I don't like. Doug Martin being out. Jamal Williams had a big game, so that could play a factor. It's in Green Bay. I don't know how well Tampa's going to travel there. Is Jameis actually playing? Do we know?
He's supposed to be, I believe.
I guess if Jameis is playing, I have to pick the Buccaneers. If not, I'll take the Packers.
My favorite comment last week from that Green Bay game is that, I forgot who it was, who the commentator was, but they go, not even Aaron Rodgers could make a comeback like Brent Hundley did in this game almost. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? So whoever said that, you're an idiot. It's Aaron Rodgers and Brent Hundley. But I have to go with Tampa Bay if Jameis Winston is playing. I've heard that he is. And then I've read that he's not, but I got to check the Pewter report one more time to see and verify that. So if he's playing, I like Tampa Bay's chances. We have another shitty game. Houston at the Tennessee Titans. Thoughts on this dumpster fire of a game?
Tennessee, they're finding ways to win football games. It's not very pretty, but they're getting it done. I think they're going to get it done against Houston this game. Tom Savage has been horrendous. And that defense is just not the same without J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless. That team is not the same with all the drastic big-time injuries that they've faced. Going Tennessee.
Tennessee, specifically at home, I'm not really sure how you could pick against them at this point. Houston, listen, Todd Savage is...
Todd?
Is Todd.
Tom.
I know, but I call him Todd because he's so bad. He's not good at all. So, as bad as Marcus Mariota has been, Derrick Henry, big time game, and the Tennessee Titans find a way to win.
I have to go with the Tennessee Titans. They have to, like we said last week, have to establish an identity. They still haven't done that.
Nope.
Just run the ball every play. Don't even pass.
Yep.
Just run it.
Yep.
I don't even care right now. Just say, hey, we're going to become a running team, and if you want to split carries, so be it. It doesn't matter to me anymore. Just grind this game out and win. Houston's not a very good team right now without Deshaun Watson, so Tennessee Titans for me in this game. Next.
I was just going to say, speaking of Tennessee, I can't wait to see how high Deshaun Watson gets drafted next year in fantasy football drafts. That is going to be my number one focus.
It'll be very
interesting. How high he gets. Because I bet you, on average, it's five rounds or higher.
I guarantee that.
And that's absurd.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
I bet you third round.
For a guy who's put out five games and then comes off a big injury.
But five games, he put up huge numbers.
Five games and a huge injury? That's...
I don't know. I can't wait. Broncos at the Dolphins. Great.
Jesus Christ.
I'd rather watch the video of the couple of the Bills Mafia in their stadium doing you know what to each other. But
finger each other's buttholes. Yep. Is what you meant to say.
This is probably the least.
You don't believe me.
This matchup, I have really no interest in it whatsoever.
Honestly, if it ended in a tie, it wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I'd rather see Dan Marino and John Elway go run some 7-on-7 drills for the whole game. But I'm going to go Dolphins, their home team.
Let's move on.
The Dolphins are at home. Kenyon Drake gets the reins. They have Matt Moore at quarterback still, I believe. Jarvis Landry is going to blow up. Dolphins, not even a question, guys.
Dolphins for me. Kansas City at the Jets. I'm going to go with the Jets. The Jets are going to win, and this is going to make the movement of one Patrick Mahomes into the starting lineup consideration for one Alex Smith, who was great earlier in the season.
Kansas City has to win. Have to,
but they won't.
they do have to win. I'm sorry.
You're watching the video?
I just Googled, and the first thing that came up was video. Bills fans are still really horny. More ass fingering during Patriots game. I'm not making this up. They legitimately, it's a problem in Buffalo. There's multiple results. All right, third one down. I guess fingering ass is just a thing to do at Ralph Wilson. These are real things. Buffalo fans, please, for the love of God, what is going on? I'm sorry. I can't keep it together.
Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars should kill the Colts. Leonard Fournette is around this time. They're going to be able to do whatever they want against the Indianapolis Colts.
I am going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars as well.
These
Buffalo Bills fans get a hand job and ass fingering during game. These are real.
You gotta stop,
this
man.
This is terrible.
I told you it wasn't fake. If you would have just believed me, I wouldn't be doing
it. I believed you.
There's video evidence.
I don't need the video. I believe you. Next up. The Detroit Lions at the Baltimore Ravens. Two pretty good defenses. Two offenses that have been struggling as of late. But the Baltimore Ravens have gotten their running game going. And the Lions, with Marvin Jones, doing pretty good. But is Matthew Stafford going to be 100% healthy?
Even if he was 100% healthy, the Ravens would be able to stop him. They're going to be able to get after him, hit him. And that Baltimore Ravens defense, which in my opinion is Super Bowl worthy, is going to get it done and get to 7-5 on the year.
I think the Lions are going to run away with this one. No.
Slap butt, Tim?
No, I am. My mind is distorted right now. I'm trying to keep it together for Josh's. You and I are laughing. Josh is getting very mad.
I'm not getting mad.
You have not seen the butthole fingering, but.
You gotta say it and laugh every time. All right.
The pictures.
Chargers.
There's like 100 pictures of it.
I told you guys it wasn't fake. You thought I was making it up.
Chargers at home against the Cleveland Browns. I am going to go with the LA Chargers. Phillip Rivers is on a different level right now, and I'm expecting, regardless of how good that Cleveland front seven has been playing, Melvin Gordon to have a big day.
Last season, the Cleveland Browns had one victory. Do you guys remember who that came against?
The Chargers.
The Bears.
Nope, it was against the Chargers, Joshua.
I just said that.
I wasn't listening to you. I'm trying to...
What was that, week 13 last year?
Yeah, it was sometime late in the year. But this time, Phillip Rivers is going to get revenge. This is going to be a blowout. The Chargers are one of the hottest teams in the NFL. They win 42-0.
Yeah, I agree with Tom completely. I don't think it's even remotely close. The Chargers are hot right now. They're at home. That, as good as the offensive line has been for the Browns, they don't have a real quarterback. Ingram and Bosa combination is going to tear that shit up.
We have the New York Giants with Geno Smith at quarterback versus the Oakland Raiders.
Giants are traveling to the West Coast in this matchup. This team, obviously, I think they're giving up. They're throwing in the towel. Raiders are going to win this game even without their top two receiving options in Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree.
Guys, the Giants are a joke. The fact that they're even putting Eli Manning in this position to have to decide that is ridiculous. Good thing for them is that Derek Carr and the Raiders are just as equally just a joke. So the Giants find a way to win with the combo of Geno Smith and Eli Manning.
Another good game here. We have the Carolina Panthers at the New Orleans Saints. What are your guys' thoughts on this one?
You know, the Saints rebound. They're at home. They're gonna rebound hard against the Carolina Panthers. I don't think Carolina's that good. I don't think they have. We talked about identity earlier. With the Tennessee Titans. The Panthers are very similar to me. I don't think they really know what they want to do between Christian McCaffrey and the wide receivers that they still have. Obviously, they traded Kevin Benjamin. I don't know what if they know what they want to do. The Saints have figured it out. They had a tough loss against the Rams on the road. They reassess, they reevaluate, and they bring it home at home against the Panthers.
Saints are going to win this one. Mark Ingram's going to get it going again on the ground. Last week, it was a down game for him, and Alvin Kamara truly led that backfield. It's going to be a two-headed monster. Saints get back in the win column.
McCaffrey or Kamara this week?
Kamara.
I have to say Kamara at home.
Okay. Let's go Drew Brees, who has had some down weeks, and Cam Newton.
Drew Brees.
Give me Cam. I think the Saints will be able to run the football. I think they'll get out to an early lead, and that'll play into Cam Newton getting more passing yards and rushing yards in this game.
LA Rams at the Arizona Cardinals.
Rams are going to win this one. They're hot right now. Cardinals have struggled stopping efficient passing attacks, and that's what the Rams are right now. Jared Goff's going to have another big game.
Yeah, give me the Rams all day.
Next up. Philadelphia Eagles at the Seattle Seahawks.
Is there a better team in the NFL right now than the Philadelphia Eagles? Nope. And they're going in to face one of the Seahawks at home, which is a pretty tough place to play. That Seahawks team is not the same without Cam Chancellor and Richard Big Nostrils Sherman. Eagles get it done. Carson Wentz gets it done. He's got like the biggest nostrils I've ever seen.
This show has totally 100% gone off the rails. I feel like this is a monster test for the Eagles. I feel like Tom undersold the shit out of this matchup. Regardless of the injuries that the Seahawks have faced on the defensive side of the ball, you are still going across country in one of the toughest places to play in the NFL against a defense who, even if they have injuries, still have a lot of attitude, have a lot of swagger. This is a monster test. Very, very close game. I feel like the Seahawks are going to find a way to squeak it out. It's going to be the best thing that has ever happened to Carson Wentz and a big push for the Eagles towards a championship. Even, I meant to say it earlier. You see the sign that those Eagle friggin' dickheads posted, they told Chicago, stick to murders. Leave the football to Philadelphia. You freaking cunts.
I was laughing. That was pretty good.
Seahawks go and win 31-28.
So let me ask you this. If the Seahawks do win this game, Russell Wilson, would he be the front runner for the MVP?
For me, yes.
If they win this game, absolutely. Yeah.
And obviously on the other side of the ball, would you say Carson Wentz would be the MVP if they won?
Yep.
Yep.
Where does Tom Brady now go in there? Is he just up there?
Probably behind both of them in my eyes. Whoever wins this game will probably be number one for me, and then Mr. Thomas Brady will be a close second.
I guess I have to agree. Honestly, I don't know, Josh.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's so hard to think, like, we give him the benefit of the doubt because he's 40 years old.
Yeah.
He's a 40-year-old man. He just... doing what he's doing.
Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals, last game of the week. Thoughts?
I'm really excited about this game. It's a test for the Steelers facing an okay Cincinnati Bengals team, but it's on the road, division rival. Joe Mixon and the Bengals figured out how to run the football last week, and if they want to win this game, they're going to have to run the football against the Steelers. The Steelers will get it done, though. Big-time Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown game.
You know, like you said, Tom, this is a big, big game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of their final road games, road tests of the season. I believe they have one more after this. And, you know, big test. Division foe, division rival. Obviously, they know each other. Look for Vontaze Burfict to be hot for this game. This is his season. This is everything that this is his Super Bowl. So let's see what happens. Interested, again, what Joe Mixon brings to the table. But I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers in a close one, 17-14.
Le'Veon Bell or Joe Mixon?
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
Antonio Brown or A.J. Green?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
All
right. Josh, I just want to read you something. And Tom,
I don't
want to
read
Tom and I are having a hard time to keep it together. So I want to just read to you, okay? I Googled, and I quote, "The best of Buffalo Bills fans fingering buttholes." These are the headlines. Buffalo Bills fan gets hand job and ass fingering during the game. Is this Bills fan fingering a lady's butt? An investigation. Buffalo Bills fans continue to finger each other in public. I guess fingering ass is just the thing to do at Ralph Wilson. Sick Buffalo Bills fan gets hand job and fingers ass.
A sick Buffalo
Bills fan? Hold on, there's four more. Just how deep is this Bills fan's hand down this girl's pants? Bills fans, WTF is in the water, Buffalo. Shameless Bills fan caught fingering girl's butthole during game. And my personal favorite, Bills fan leans in for selfie, boyfriend shoves hand in her asshole.
How is that even a headline?
I swear to you, that is the headline. I told you guys it was real. You didn't believe me. This is our show now.
Ridiculous.
Buffalo has a problem.
Yeah, they do.
A big time problem.
Yeah, their team sucks, and apparently butthole's getting fingered.
They literally are known for powerbombing fans pregame through a table and in-game fingering buttholes. It's messed up.
All right, so who is going to be the number one running back fantasy this week?
Jesus Christ, I can't even think straight. Give me Leonard Fournette.
That's a good choice, Tom. I like that actually quite a bit. I am going to go with Jordan Howard. Let him be the number one.
I like that.
Jordan Howard.
Yeah, at home against the Niners. I feel like it's a good choice.
What about the number one wide receiver this week?
Should I go down Dontrell Inman or no? No? Okay. I will go with Davante Adams at home against the Bucs.
Give me Josh Gordon of the Browns.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just trolling you guys. It's hard to go away from Antonio Brown right now. Dude's been so hot. So I'm gonna roll with Antonio Brown again.
Number one tight end.
Zach Ertz. Without a Cam Chancellor, I've been struggling covering the tight end. I like it a lot.
Golly. I do not like any of this. Give me OJ Howard this week.
Deep.
Wow, that's a reach.
I'm going deep.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Similar to Bills fans.
God,
this is a terrible episode.
Yeah. Have you seen their foam finger?
No, I don't need to.
They don't have one.
So, anything else, guys?
Nope.
All right.
And the goddamn show.
That's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. We are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at MMA News _Tim, Pony Keg Tom. Email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. Until next time.
Peace.